So good evening, everyone. This is Chair Rena Moran. Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I call this remote meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Ms. Sparkman, can you please take the roll?
Chair Moran?
Present.
Moran, present. Vice Chair Olson?
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, present.
Garofalo, present. Representative Albright?
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Becker Finn?
Present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Bernardi?
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Eklund?
Present.
Eklund, present. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, present.
Hansen, present. Representative Hassan? Representative Hassan? Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas?
Hertas here.
Hertas present. Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein present.
Hornstein present. Representative Johnson?
Present.
Johnson present. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha present.
Kreisha present. Representative Liebling excused. Representative Lilly?
Lilly present.
Lilly present. Representative Mariani? Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Present.
Marquardt present. Representative Miller? Representative Miller? Representative Nash?
Nash present.
Nash present. Representative Nelson?
Present.
Nelson present. Representative Noor?
Present.
Noor present. Representative O'Neill?
Present.
O'Neill present. Representative Pulowski? Representative Pulowski? Representative Petersburg?
Present.
Petersburg present. Representative Pinto?
Present.
Pinto present. Representative Schumacher excused. Representative Schultz excused. Representative Scott excused. Representative Sundin?
Present.
Sundin present. Representative Hassan? Representative Mariani?
Present.
Mariani present. Representative Pulowski. That concludes the roll. There is a quorum present.
Thank you, Ms. Hartman. So a quorum is present, and our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from our hearing yesterday, February the 8th. Are there any questions or corrections on the minutes? If not, the chair would like to entertain a motion to approve.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay, who's that speaking?
It's Representative Olson.
Representative Olson, sorry. So Representative Olson moves approval of the minutes for February 8, 2021. Can we please unmute briefly for a voice vote? Okay, so, okay, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Well, members, before we go any further, I want to take this time to acknowledge the tragic event that occurred in Buffalo today. There's a lot that we still do not know, but what we know is this, is that several people have been critically injured and we are praying for their recovery, keeping them in our hearts. Our community has been shaken. And we offer our support to everyone there, including our colleagues, Representative O'Neill and Representative McDonald's. Our first responders have once again shown their courage and their support for each other's communities. And, you know, for them, I think we should be grateful for that. They showed up, you know, Minneapolis first responders went to Buffalo. And it's a tragic coincidence that this evening hearing is to discuss legislation that addresses unthinkable events like today that call on first responders to respond mutual aid. Whether it's a paramedic from a neighboring community who covered calls for help elsewhere in the community, the state patrol that used their helicopters to quickly deliver blood to the victims, or the Minneapolis Police Department that lent its expertise with explosives to local law enforcement officials. Our state is built on the promise of community. We are a state of communities and taking care of one another. And so I want to thank everyone from the city of Buffalo, from Wright County, and from the entire state of Minnesota who is helping respond to today's tragedy. And with that said, we are going to resume our conversation on House File 445. And it is my intent that we will vote on this bill tonight. And so I'm going to ask Chair Mariani to move his bill to bring it before the committee, and then we're going to move to the amendments discussed yesterday before opening the floor to other amendments that members may have or further discussion on the bill. With that, Chair Mariani, will you please move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move that House File 445 be recommended be passed in the General Register.
Okay. And also, could you please move your 18 amendment for us and remind us what it does?
Madam Chair, first I'll move the 18 amendment. Madam Chair, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm having internet access issues with the House right now, so I don't have 18 in front of me. So if I could turn to nonpartisan staff to describe the 18, and then I'll fill in terms of the intent once I hear what's in it.
Okay. Can I have someone from nonpartisan staff?
Madam Chair, this is Jeff Neal from Health Research.
Yes. Proceed.
Madam Chair and members, the A18 amendment would remove the words personnel from, which is on page 3, line 4, and that relates to a item that would be eligible for reimbursement, which is indemnification costs. And this is a suggestion, again, that came from the League of Minnesota Cities to make it clear that the indemnification costs would go for the municipality or government entity that was responding, not directly to the personnel who were responding. And then the other piece of this amendment would be to delete Section 4 of the bill, which is an appropriation to the Post Board to cover expenses related to the model policy that's in the bill. The board has informed the legislature that they can absorb the costs of preparing that model policy.
Thank you, Mr. Dibble.
Sure, that is my amendment. We did talk about it briefly yesterday, so now it's all coming back to me. Mr. Dibble explained it perfectly.
All right. Members, do you have any questions or comments on the 18 amendment? So Chair Mariani renews his motion to adopt the 18 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails and the 18 amendment is adopted. So we also have another amendment that I would like to move at this time. That would be the 17 amendment. So Representative Johnson, do you still wish to move the 17 amendment?
I do wish to move that, but I also do have an amendment to the amendment, the 821.
Okay, should we proceed with the A17 and then to the 821?
Well, the 821 is an amendment to the amendment.
So why don't you move the 821 amendment and then tell us what it does?
The A21 amendment takes out a section, lines 1.13 and 1.14 of the A17 amendment. This is an area where the chiefs of police had some issues with this amendment, and I have no problem adjusting it for them. And I would like to have that to get the amendment in the way I would like.
Okay. Is there any discussion to that, to the A21 amendment?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, and I'm still shorthanded here with the amendments, but as I understand it, this language by itself, standalone, is a good amendment. It's unfortunately amending a bad amendment, but I guess we'll get around to that soon enough.
Okay, so all those in favor of the A21 amendment, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
I believe we are moving the A21 amendment as amended. And so why don't we now go back to the A17 amendments?
Okay, the A17 amendment with the A21 amendment to the amendment. What it does is requires a definition for a public safety event. In this, requires that the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative policy and budget committees with jurisdictions receive finance, receive information on where the funds went. I'm also having issues trying to get to the House website, so I'm bear with me here. I'm not sure if something's going there or not.
Representative Johnson, let me know if you'd like Health Research to do an explanation of that amendment.
I found my paperwork. Now I just have to find my glasses to read it.
Okay.
Okay, the A17 amendment, it also removes the state agencies to participate in this as we can backfill as we did in the last time. There's also funds in the governor's budget for that as well. It requires the Department of Public Safety Commissioners to wait until all eligible jurisdictions have applied. So in case the total amount exceeds the money in the safe account, each agency receives a prorated reimbursement, so everybody gets the same amount and nobody is left out. It also adds requirement that the commissioner describe the public safety event in addition to the list of reimbursements amounts required to the legislature. That pretty much sums up the amendment. With the one section removed, the three law enforcement groups are no longer against this amendment. They are neutral. And I think it gives a balance to get away from policy issues. It also removes the other amendments that Representative Mariani put in. But it gives an issue where this funds is needed quickly with the trial coming up, and I think it has a good possibility of getting through the Senate real quickly so we can get the funds and the planning in place so we can make sure that we keep the law-abiding citizens of Minneapolis and the citizens across the state safe. I hope you support this amendment.
Madam Chair, your mute is on.
I'm sorry. So thank you for that information, Representative Johnson. So members, do you have any questions or comments to the A17 amendment? Representative Mariani?
Madam Chair, I would oppose this amendment. I spoke to this yesterday. Although I must say, I think there are some good elements in this amendment, and there's plenty of room for us to modify and compromise on a number of these provisions. I do like very much, as I said yesterday, the idea of reporting the detailed appropriation expenditures back to both majority and minority leaders and both houses on the reimbursement fund. I also do think that there is something good about encouraging sending a jurisdiction to participate in a mutual aid agreement. And so there's some incentivizing comfort language here, which I think is quite reasonable. Unfortunately, the other parts of the amendment that really take away the ability of the state to say straight face to its citizenry that as we spend your state dollars, we're going to ensure that there's strong accountability on the part of our public agents that we license to provide public safety. This amendment takes that ability away. It also weakens the ability of our own Department of Public Safety to be able to observe unimpeded the development the progress of development of policing a large public assembly, as well as impedes their, potentially can impede their ability to provide expert advice to the receiving jurisdiction. I know that some of this has been the subject of conversations in the background since yesterday. I'm certainly committed to continuing that conversation, but at this point, I can't support this amendment, even though it has provisions in there that I think are good provisions. Madam Chair, I would encourage non-adoption of the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Mariani. Are there any other questions or comments to the A-17 amendments?
Madam Chair, I see Representative Johnson.
Representative Johnson, please go ahead.
Chair Moran, members, I would hope you would support this. As we saw in the situation, the unfortunate situation today, when the law enforcement community and our communities need help, they respond. They don't need mutual aid agreements. Mutual aid agreements are for pre-planned events such as large city celebrations, community events. When things like they happen today, they're not planned. Law enforcement responds. When members of the law enforcement community need help, they don't care about politics, they go help. The amendment that I have here today is a way to get funds that unplanned events happen, even though we can plan for them, we always plan for events like we're talking about, but we have no control over them when or where they happen. And when these events happen, especially like what's probably going to happen, law enforcement community responds to help each other. And politics don't play a part of it. This is just a way to offset some of the costs our local communities are going to be paying through their property taxes when their law enforcement members in their community go somewhere else to help out. And it's usually in a major disaster event where Chapter 12 is invoked. And with that, I do hope that you do support this amendment, because I think it's a good amendment. It's a way to get the funds through quickly and get this to the governor's office to sign so they can plan a little better and that their communities will understand that even though that might cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, it's not going to be on the backs of their local tax dollars, property tax dollars. Thank you.
So Representative Johnson renews his motion to adopt the A-17 amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? So the motion does not prevail. All right. So members, I believe there's no other amendments to House File 445. So seeing none, Chair Mariani renews his motion that House.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Garofalo.
I think there's probably some members who want to speak before we vote on final passage.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, well, let's Representative Garofalo.
Actually, Madam Chair, it's customary that I will close for our side of the aisle. So if you want to call on other members who wish to speak, obviously I'll defer to the chief author who gets the final word, but you can call on me last from our side. Thank you.
Okay. So why don't I start with Representative O'Neill? Well, Representative Johnson, did you have another statement you would like to make before we move on?
I can wait.
Okay, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's been an incredibly difficult day. And the news just reported that there was in fact one death and four critically injured. And so they're still searching for more possible and unexploded devices. So on a day like today, and having had multiple conversations with our chief law enforcement officers, with Commissioner Harrington, with my mayor, with county commissioners, and just a few citizens, I'm really disappointed that we couldn't come to an agreement on this particular bill. Because as we pointed out before, we as in the committee, not me personally, this is incredibly important. I think it should be done. I would really hope that you would strongly consider, at least on the floor, adopting the recommendations that we put forth in the amendment. It shows me how important those pieces are after what's happened in my own community today. And also, Chair, I thank you for your kind words. And yes, we have an incredible law enforcement here in my district. And within minutes of the news getting out, my sheriff said that over 10 different departments offered aid. And it's just been an influx of support from all around us, including from even from the Metro with SWAT and with other specialized units that they have to help us out. So I'm really disappointed that you couldn't accept the amendment. It made a lot of sense. It prioritizes those that are sending in aid. And in my case today, those who are all kinds of agencies sending in aid to my community. So I would ask you, I know that that amendment came up fairly quickly because this bill is moving very quickly. I would implore you, from someone that has just been through chaos and death and carnage all day, that you would please consider adopting as many of the parts of the amendment that Representative Johnson put forth as you possibly could. I have, of course, as I always do, reviewed them very carefully, and it actually makes this bill much better, not much worse, in my opinion, particularly after what I've been through today. So I would ask, I know that this bill is going to go forward and you have the votes, and I'm really disappointed that you wouldn't accept at least in part some of the amendments, the part of the amendment that Representative Johnson provided. It's now more than ever that we need to compromise, that we need to work together on both sides of the aisle. I couldn't think of a more important reason to do that than this bill. Not only what happened in my community, but what could happen in the weeks to come in Minneapolis and beyond. So that is my plea, members. Please look carefully at the language that Representative Johnson presented. Think through it carefully, and let's work together instead of the partisan divide that we continue to have. Thank you, members.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Moran, members, I'm really disappointed that we're pushing this bill forward. This is not supported by the MPPOA, by the sheriffs, by the chiefs, and it affects them greatly. They supported the original bill, and with the changes on it, they do not support it. Even the governor doesn't really support it that much. So I cannot vote for this the way it stands. As we saw today, that our law enforcement community, when they need help, they respond, whether it's at agreements or not, whether there's a bill requiring it or not, whether they get paid or not. They respond to help each other. They also respond to make sure that the citizens of our communities are safe. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Chair Moran. I'll be short. I'm stunned here. Granted, I got a text from my staff person that this Ways and Means was cobbled together, and the reason why I'm jumping on right now is because I wasn't even aware of this. I object to this whole process. This is not how we legislate. I've had a talk with the speaker on the process, and she assured me that we were going to really focus on doing things in the proper manner. So I'm not placing this blame on you, Madam Chair, because I don't know. I'm literally coming in on the tail end of this, and I'm on a phone in my town, in my house, as I'm ready to head out. This is disappointing. I have meetings with my sheriffs tomorrow, or I think on Thursday, because I was assured a vote was not coming this week. And I was going to talk with them about this, and now it's going to be an after-the-fact sort of meeting. This is not how we do things in the state of Minnesota. So I do appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk now. I know we're just about at a vote, but this is just a stunning development for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Miller. But I want you to note that a notice did go out yesterday for the hearing today. I just wanted to share that with you. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm going to echo a lot of the criticism or disappointment. You know, we've heard that this is going to be carried out to save Minnesotans. And, you know, what you're going to wind up doing is pushing it over the objection of Minnesotans, many of them who are going to be the principal ones who have to show up. And I just think that if you are truly going to give either lip service or actually agree with the notion of one Minnesota, that you would actually incorporate things that come from the people who are offering them. I know Representative Johnson's amendment was offered in good faith. It was not a gotcha amendment. And I'm disappointed in Chair Mariani and the rest of the committee for voting that amendment down. Again, if you're gonna do this and you're going to do it to the benefit of Minnesotans, you should take in the suggestions and try to incorporate the suggestions from Minnesotans into the bill. So very disappointing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Before I pass this on to Representative Garofalo, because I want you to have the last word, I'm going to speak, and then we're going to pass it over to Mariani to close this. And so, you know, what happened today in Buffalo is something that could easily happen in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or anywhere across the state of Minnesota. And there has been a request for these dollars so that law enforcement can show up. And in my mind, in you know, Representative Mariani mind and so many others, that the amendment that he attached to this is not a gotcha amendment. It is an amendment that many of us believe needs to be there. And it needs to be there for accountability purposes. You know, and it is hard because we sometimes live in these two worlds for people to see the world that we are presenting before you with the Mariani amendment. But it's a world that many of us live in. And I, you know, for, you know, I, you know, we see no reasons why there shouldn't be any accountability measures put on to this X of 35 million. 35 million. Why not? And so as difficult as it is for some to not to be able to see the value in Mariani's amendments, there's many of us who believe it needs to be there. But you know what? No one gets everything that they want. I'm sure we want, and I'm sure you want, but I'm hoping we do have some compromise here, because the point of what the money and what the resources are there for is needed. And so in order for that to be accomplished, we need to sit down and find a pathway for that to happen. Not everyone's saying, forget all the other stuff that's there. Just look at what I'm putting there. That's the solution. So I'm hoping that we are not going to stay in a partisan lens here, that we can, over the next few days, that we can come together and find something that's going to be a bipartisan solution about how we move forward. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Mariani, for bringing this bill forward. I'll be recommending a no vote on this bill today, but the conversation will continue forward. It's important to remember that this bill creates a special revenue account to reimburse local units of government for that are providing assistance during these events that exceed the capacity of local resources. That's what this bill does. The House GOP took a look at this, and we recognize that this is likely to be an international event. And so we prioritized public safety. We prioritized public safety, making sure the public is safe. We made sure we prioritized that over other issues that traditionally the minority political party does. I spoke yesterday about this, that our colleagues in the Senate have stated their opposition to this funding, that they want this to be funded by a local government aid offset to the city of Minneapolis. The concerns that our colleagues in the Senate bring up are very valid, that we do not want to be incentivizing local units of government to reduce their public safety expenditures, knowing that the state's going to come in and bail them out. Those are legitimate concerns. However, those concerns are not meritorious as attached to the funding of this proposal. This is, again, an international event. Likewise, I think that while my friend, I'm proud to call my friend, a guy I've worked with closely, Representative Mariani, his heart's in the right place, there needs to also be a recognition that the policy language that we tried to eliminate today is not going to be in the final passage of this bill. The amendment that we offered to you today, that was really a third way middle ground approach to use Greg David's line to have peace in the valley. And ultimately, the version of this bill that we proposed to you today, that's what's going to end up happening eventually. That's what the final negotiated agreement will end up being. It will be a clean bill without extra policy, without local government offsets. And what we did today is we tried to offer an opportunity so we could align a united House of Representatives to show that bipartisan support and move things forward. Now, we'll be giving every member of the body an opportunity to vote on this again. We'll be offering a minority report to this bill that lays out what Representative Johnson brought forward. And let me say, I want to thank Representative Johnson and Representative O'Neill for their work on this, for the thoughtful nature of this. Obviously, we're the minority political party. It's always easier for us just to say no and throw rocks. But in this case, we decided to come forward with a positive alternative. And I hope the majority party recognizes that. But we'll be offering a minority report to this committee report on the House floor. It'll give members an opportunity to vote for a bill that is supported by law enforcement, that is going to move us forward towards a bipartisan agreement. The idea that a bill that funds law enforcement that is opposed by the major law enforcement groups of our state, the idea that that would become law in this legislative session is just not reality. And so we're going to give all members a chance to weigh in on that and hope that you side with the women and men of law enforcement in supporting the Republican version of this bill. So I'll be voting no today and would encourage my colleagues to vote no as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Representative Mariani. You're muted, Carlos, Representative Mariani.
I'm going to start all over again. I said all those nice things about Representative Garofalo. I got to say it twice now. Representative Garofalo and I have been on the same side of the wrong side of a shooting gallery. And it is true that you serve here long enough and you make all sorts of alliances in the moment to pass good legislation. I wish that was the case right now, and unfortunately it's not. This bill came about, let me just say, I'm really proud of this bill. This bill came about because the governor scanned out initially and saw the potential for something horribly bad to happen in our state. Today is a horrible day, I hope that it's not a reflective, not in terms of intent, but in terms of what happened and what may happen in the next few months. And so when the bill was brought to me, I said, I think it's absolutely important for us to be prepared and to encourage mutual aid arrangements so that we can have the right amount of resources, presence to respond to what could be, a large scale disruption. Hopefully not, but, perhaps, what we saw last year. We weren't ready last year. We could certainly be ready this year, and that was the whole governor's approach, and I laud him for that. But the issue is that it's been not even a year since George Floyd was killed, and we're still working through how to make sure that the proper, appropriate, expectation that the citizens have of our licensed public agents, peace officers, can accomplish the twin difficult task of keeping us safe from personal harm and property harm, and also respecting our First Amendment right to assembly. It's about as American as America. It's the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights. What we saw last year, unfortunately, was that those rights were often horribly disrespected, violated, and leading to some pretty serious harm, to our citizenry. And so we're trying to walk this fine line of having this high expectation of our public safety professionals to keep us from harm, while also respecting our First Amendment constitutional rights. That's why I'm proud of this bill, because this bill tries to strike that important balance and basically says those two are not inconsistent with one another. There were some good provisions in the amendment that was offered today by the minority party. Unfortunately, my friends on the other side of the aisle decided to offer it as all in one package. So they dumped all the First Amendment protection issues in the bill while keeping those other good governance provisions in it. I would have loved to have had a chance to accept those while continuing to hold to the principle that I articulated in this bill. I'm also really glad that finally there's a shift that's happening among our minority party members. If you'll recall, there was a strong voice that said, you know what, my community has nothing to do with Minneapolis or St. Paul or whoever, any other community. I think today showed why it's important that we, in fact, have everything to do with one another. This bill honors that. This bill makes sure that we meet those values. Let me just say really quickly that there has been no reason given to oppose this bill other than that law enforcement associations, their associations, say that they don't support it because it requires them to be held accountable to their own policies of protecting constitutional rights to publicly assemble and protect. That's the bottom line here, folks. There's fractured support for this bill based on our law enforcement folks telling us that the First Amendment constitutional rights don't matter. they're wrong. We as legislators should call them on that and remind them that they work for the people, that they are public servants just like we are. We swore an oath to the Constitution, and in that Constitution is this fundamental right. That's the only reason they oppose this bill. We should be together on asserting the primacy of constitutional rights and of keeping the public safe. We'll continue to discuss this bill going forward. It'll take us where it will take us, but we're going to have this debate. We're going to have this conversation because it's really important for us to have it. And I do trust at the end that we're going to make the right decision. So, Madam Chair and members, I appreciate your indulgence for the few minutes here at the end. I understand where the votes are going to be. I would encourage you to, encourage all of us to stay at the table talking with one another. So thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would renew my motion, if that's okay. Would that be appropriate?
Yes, please.
House File 445 as amended be referred to the General Registry.
Okay. So with that, Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Pass.
Eklund, pass. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan, excused. Representative Hertas?
Not yet. Needs more work. No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha?
No.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling, excused. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Pass.
Marquardt, pass. Representative Miller?
No.
Miller, no. Representative Nash?
No.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, pass.
Pawlowski, pass. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher, excused. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin?
Pass.
Sundin, pass. 12 ayes, 9 nays.
Okay, there being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion prevails and House File 445, as amended, is recommended for placement on the General Register. Again, I want to just thank all the members. Let's continue to stay in conversation because I know this can be a bipartisan bill and believe we can work towards that end. So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.